And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Speaking with our Manhattan City officials, City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler, and we have a call on the line, so we're going to get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, thank you for your management of the city and the effective things that you do. But I was out at your paid parking lot at the airport to pick up my son on Friday and to take him back on Sunday morning. Friday in the pouring down rain, and in that paid parking lot, when you go to get out and you pull up to the gate, the standalone electrically energized equipment doesn't work. And then you have to sit there while the security person walks out in his raincoat and actuates to get the arm to go up. Well, the way the thing is designed, that all the water that hits the top of the equipment rolls around the front of a curl there and goes down inside the clear plastic lens on the 4 foot tall on the front of that equipment. And you can watch it run down through the metal electrically energized equipment inside that standalone kiosk. And it's a concern to me. 50 years as a licensed electrician doing airports from Miami to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, that electrically energized standalone kiosk could possibly be installed according to the National Electric Code or certified by the Underwriters Laboratory for that application. I'm sure that it would work great in your downtown parking garage, but not out in that exposed location. And your people know that it's not functioning. But now, if you go out there and look at it, and if it's raining this afternoon and you can't get out of the parking lot, I want you to know to come around to the disabled parking. There's a nice wide walkway, sidewalk across the entrance to the departure gate at the terminal building. You can drive your Crown Vic right up that sidewalk and out onto the exit driveway for the airport and still leave out of there without having to call that security guy out in his raincoat to let you out of that parking lot. I wanted to know what the name of your insurance company is so that we can get a risk management people out there to explain to you that just because the low bidder comes out and installs a piece of equipment like that, it doesn't mean that it's safe for anybody around it. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that reflection of an actual experience there. I'm pretty sure we haven't paid the final bill on that project. And so I'm aware of several punch list items that need to be finalized. So I will certainly take that and we'll add that to the list if it isn't already on there. So if the attendants are having to come out and actually take care of it, they're certainly aware of it and are working with the contractor to remedy some of those issues. So thank you for letting us know that.
Yes, that's an excellent call. Clearly a quality deficiency in the installation, which definitely we need to put some attention on quickly and get fixed.
Yeah, certainly wasn't the last time it will rain. We'll have several more of those incidents in the future. Taking a look at tonight's agenda here for the City Commission, which again meets at 7 o'clock in City Hall. We'll start with the general agenda, and the first item on there is kind of a rezoning ordinance here for a lot over on the Eureka Drive area, the west side of Manhattan.
Right, Brandon, this is just across from the Job Corps area, that we call it the Eureka Business Park there, and we've got a lot within that particular development. It's mostly zoned I-2 as well as C-6 commercial, so light industrial or commercial, and they're wanting to rezone a commercial tract and into industrial tract. So it's a pretty straightforward. It's C-6 to I-2. It's adjacent to the I-2, and the staff and planning board are recommending approval for that.
All right. Is there any potential company that's looking at the property right now?
I believe the current owners who are requesting the rezoning plan to use it. That's Larson Construction.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Well, that's the first item up there. And, of course, the other item here is really the big item, and that's more discussion on the development code. And I know a big part of this, this is kind of wide-ranging, but a big part of that is the bike racks. I saw that listed in there. And tell us a little bit more about what that will entail.
So let me go back just a little bit for your listeners. The Manhattan Development Code is a new code. It consolidates our zoning regulations with our subdivision regulations into one new modernized code. It was called the Uniform Development Ordinance, and we've renamed it the Manhattan Development Code because it will be in our listed in our code of ordinances. So, looking at Article 26 this evening, of course, we're breaking it down by the various chapters of the code and sections, and they'll start that discussion and revisit some of the floodplain regulations and purposes and general provisions of the floodplain, different districts and the floodplain zones and some of the floodplain requirements, including things like our own local special flood hazard area. We've added the tenant flood hazard notice that has been discussed to the development code that requires folks that are renting or notice to property owners of just a notice that this area is in a floodplain or a potential area that might flash flood, for example, or be impacted by that so that they're aware of it as part of that. And so that's part of that notice. And certainly that's something we saw on the news yesterday from the weekend and places that, you just never know when you get a heavy enough rain, everybody can be affected by a flash flood. I think Natomo, was the city, was pretty much the whole city was underwater and the vehicles couldn't get out and they had to go house to house by boat, and not necessarily all of that was in a flood hazard area. So those are just some of those regulations. Another area is just in some of our general standards that deal with site grading plans. Also some of the encroachments into yard setbacks, either front yard, side yard, or rear yard setbacks, and some of the new provisions in that area. And then, as you indicated, a lot of the chapter deals with parking. You mentioned bicycle parking is one component of it, but it really looks at parking comprehensively. And so, the different classifications of parking types, parking ratios, when you think of things like this, the old parking standards, the mall is a good example of that, and the huge amount of parking lot around malls and just retail shopping in general, where the code requirements pretty much required them to kind of take them on a maximum. What is their, so at Christmas, for example, is the peak shopping period for those facilities and the parking ratios that were required at the time. And so that's really taken a stronger look at those as far as, is that overkill on those big concrete heat islands that are constructed, and do they nearly need to be that large? And so it looks at some of those ratios from that perspective, and also just looks at minimum and maximums. What are some of the goals for those parking requirements, trying to give businesses and developers a little bit more flexibility. And on the bicycle parking, looking at requiring parking for bicycles and accommodating bicycles in your developments, whether it be an apartment complex or business, and how that might work, and encouraging those types of facilities to become a more bicycle friendly facility as you make designs for that infrastructure. It also takes a look at some of the drive-through designs and regulations for drive-up restaurants or other types of drive-through banks, other types of those type of services, dry cleaning. And also speaks to electric vehicle charging stations and how those should be put in place and made available. Also looks at the landscaping requirements and screening requirements for different types of development in different areas, as well as signage regulations. So, you know, one of that's been, you know, placement of political signs or offsite advertising signs, those types of signage regulations. And then the final area in that section is outdoor lighting and the type of outdoor lighting that is recommended and regulated for typically trying to get lighting to be downcast so it doesn't have a lot of light spread and light pollution. So those are the bulk of it. Again, we're trying to tackle this section by section. The planning board is also doing that as well and trying to get the planning board to review it prior to the city commission as we go through these chapters. And then also stakeholder engagement, the folks that the developers and folks that deal with that, as well as our citizens that might be interested. After that review process, which I think will be probably in the middle of July before we get through all of that, then we'll start that formal adoption process based on the comments that we've received to the final draft.
All right. We got a quick phone call here, and then we'll take a break. Let's get back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes. I have a couple of questions, okay? You know, over here on the north side, we have on the other side of the pet shop, we've had a lot of trees that have died and they haven't been replaced. And then another thing too, I think Hy-Vee is dumping a lot of their stuff out there, you know, and it just looks insightful. And then another thing, isn't it possible to have a green space? We have such a big parking area there. Could we have kind of like a little park with a few trees and a few benches? That's just a suggestion. Thank you.
Sure. No, thanks for that comment. You know, and so that kind of relates to some of the discussion in the development code relative to parking lots and parking standards and the landscaping. And there is that was a planned unit development. So there is a landscaping requirement to continue that. So I'll certainly mention to our inspectors who work with that. I know we're a couple people down in that division, but can work with the property owners to maintain that landscaping to replace any trees that have died and or that are damaged. With regard to Hy-Vee, I know they transitioned for some of the pandemic services to their parking lot, and then they're getting ready to adjust that. And they do have an application in to amend their regulations controlling that to utilize that space in between the pet store and their store for some of those drive-through type services. So it wouldn't be such a cluttered up area in their parking lot. So I know they're working to address that. As far as additional new green space, so that would be pretty much inherent on the developer to try and develop something like that. We did put the pocket parks in there just to the south of the Dick's store in that parking lot. Both there's a little pocket park there. Along Osage, and then also on Third Street between Osage and Leavenworth. So those are area that the city kind of, there's some picnic tables and some benches, but I don't disagree that in some of those other areas where you have such large expanses of concrete parking, it'd be nice to have some green space nodes. And that's kind of some of the things that are being spoke to in the development code. So thank you for that call, though.
All right. We're going to pause, take a break. We'll come back more In Focus after this on K-Man.